Welcome to Everything Rodeo, where we separate champions from the rest of the crowd.
We'll take you down the trail of someone's life, a long haul tour rodeo, and our everyday adventures.
So brace yourself,
because it's fixing to be a wild ride.
We're your hosts,
Nace Renfrey
and Cody Stanley.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Everything Rodeo Podcast, episode number 25.
25 people. Guess where we're at? We are back again in Weatherford, Texas at the Three Sevens Ranch with the owners, Coley and Michael Barner.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, we're excited. We're excited.
So last episode, we was here in Weatherford with L4 Rope and Dummies. We came back, and now we are here with the owners themselves. Are you officially the full owners, or does Paulie some?
We're partners.
Okay. Yep. So partners in Three Sevens Ranch, but the faces.
Yes.
Yeah, so we originally, well, me personally, I don't know how long you've known Coley, but.
I've known you probably, what, 4 years now?
3 or 4?
2019.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So four years.
And how did y'all meet?
So we met through a company that we was both kind of involved in. Coley was really high up in. Through a buddy of mine, Brandon Gonzalez.
Gotcha. That's right.
Yeah. He introduced me to Coley. And then from there, we met him there in Vegas.
Yep. That's when I met him.
And then
that's when I fell in love with your hair.
Oh, yeah.
He's always drooling over your hair for some reason.
You still have yet to try to even grow yours out.
I pull it off, but I know that every time it starts touching my ears, I got to go chop it off.
I'm telling you, there's like 6 awkward stages, but once you're past the 6th one, it's...
Then you look this good.
This is what you look like, yeah. Cool.
Like Fabio.
Would you let him grow his hair out?
Oh, I'd let him, but I know he couldn't, so that's why I don't have a problem with it.
Same thing with growing anything, you know? She kind of likes the scruff, and then it gets to that stage where you kind of see the patches, and I'm like, nope, got to cut it.
Yeah.
I've been there. I have, like, total Amish chin beard.
Yeah, I used to really have the Amish chin beard. Yeah. It finally kind of grew out a little bit.
Good. Finally growing up a little bit. So, well, thanks for letting us be here at the ranch. This is the second time I've been to the ranch, and you guys do so much with performance horses. You have a lot of big plans for different things going on. You have an apparel company now. So the last time we were out here was during the PBR finals. So we spent some time over in Fort Worth at your booth. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about the apparel company and what your guys' vision is for that.
Yeah, we kind of did a soft launch, pre-launch, tested what was going to happen with it, honestly. It all really transpired. We started the Three Sevens horse business in 2015, and we made caps for our customers and for us just to kind of represent our own brand. And it was shocking the response we got with as many people were like, hey, where do I buy one of those caps? I mean, people literally just wanted to buy these things. And it just became, I guess it just got to a point where both Michael and I were like, okay, we're just going to give it to them. I mean, we just kept feeling that nudge that we're supposed to do more with this Three Sevens. And people are attracted to those sevens for multiple different reasons, obviously. But so we decided to launch a company, and we've got lots of different styles, but it's just neat how many different walks of life have been attracted to the brand, and so we're just excited to use that to expose more people to our way of life.
Right, and I think while we were down there, one of the artists actually had worn it on stage or something and tagged you. Was that right? If I remember right, I can't remember.
Yeah, multiple musicians came in. They love the caps, and they're tagging us all the time. Every time they wear one of those caps
at that's awesome.
Concert, and it's cool.
Cool. We shot a little booth tour, but that was the first time that you'd actually set up. So how was it, like launching the apparel company for the first time, setting a booth up for it?
We're used to setting up booths with something that we've done in the past with our previous company and things like that. So that setup was easy, but I think we were completely shocked at how well it was received and how receptive people were for the product themselves. Mm-hmm. Just so many people that were very attracted to the Three Sevens. They loved our story. And that's the most exciting part to us, is just to get to know people when they come into the booth. But we sold out the first weekend and actually did a rush order to get more products in that week. And then almost sold out, you know, that second time around. So it was really shocking, I think, for us to realize how much of a demand there was to represent.
And I'll add to that's actually what has made us kind of step back and realize how it was received, how we need to plan for the future. Because we didn't want to launch this website and you know, really start marketing and promoting this and getting very involved in building these relationships, and then realize, oh no, we skipped a step and we don't have enough product. Or, and I'm not saying that running out of stuff's not good, but we just wanted to have a process and a system in place because we've dealt with a lot of products in the past. And so we're almost there. Yeah. We're getting excited.
Sure. That's good. So you had you weren't selling online or anywhere. You just,
it was all in the booth.
We have a landing page and that's it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Yeah. So we're doing a booth in Vegas, and me and Cody, like, we've sold a couple caps online. We don't have any apparel yet, but now I think we ordered close to 500, you know, sweatshirts and t-shirts total for Vegas. And I'm like, I'm thinking we don't have enough, but then.
It's kind of one of them deals. It's like Catch 47. It's like, do I buy a whole bunch and have some left over, or do I buy what I think's going to sell and then sell out?
Right.
So it's kind of one of them deals. You don't know which way you're supposed to go.
I think inventory is probably the biggest struggle, especially in a booth situation. How much do I take? I don't want to have a lot left over, but at the same time, I want to have enough for everyone. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's our biggest thing, too. We're so new at it as well that it's like the unknown. As we go on, we'll be like, oh, we talked 3 years ago, and now here's how you do it.
Exactly. That's how it always goes. Yeah. So,
speaking about the booth in Vegas, 37's Ranch is actually one of our platinum sponsors for Vegas. So we're going to have like commercials and stuff going on in the booth while we're there. And, you know, we just want to thank you guys for trusting us and believing in what we do to help us out. And, you know, we're both small businesses. You know, we're both getting started out, but, you know, you've had a success. And when we was in Fort Worth a couple weeks ago, we was down here working and we was sitting here talking. And like one of the things that you and Michael like want to do is help people grow, and I think that's awesome that, you know, that we have a relationship like that people can, you have friends that will help you out, and you know, it's not just, hey, what can you do for me, but what can I do for you?
That's what makes Michael and I tick, honestly. Especially being able to be a part of the process with people like y'all, that, you know, there's so many things that align, you know, on our faith and wanting to serve and wanting to just make this way of life more known to people that haven't met it yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, exposing it and allowing people to feel like they can be a part of this and that they do know what's going on, and with what you guys are covering and just getting more stories out there. Because, see, I think that it's easy for people to spend all day on social media and see the highlight reels of someone's success and easily miss the hard work and the long process that goes into place to get them to that place.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I think just exposing it through podcasts, through videography, through just relationship building, but I think exposing that's incredible.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we live in a life where it's instant gratification. You can Google something on your phone. You know, you see these people that are already successful, and you're like, how do these people? And then there's these, here's how to instantly make $1 million in 1 year. And it's just, it undermines the hard work that really goes into it. So with 777's Ranch, it's not just an apparel company. You have a lot of history with 37's. I'm sorry, I keep saying 777. 37's Ranch. And just the history coming from New Mexico and bringing your ranch out here and what you're doing here with performance horses and what you have here at this facility and the things that you're doing for others. So tell us a little bit of the history of 37's Ranch coming from New Mexico and what's evolved to here in Weatherford.
Gosh. So I was born and raised on a 64,000 acre ranch, and then that ranch actually got expanded by 20,000 acres. So then it was 84,000 acres.
Wow.
And part of the division was a cow-calf operation, and then part of it was a yearling operation. And although they were this country was nearly contiguous, it was so big that it was so different. You know, there was some country that you couldn't run a cow on year round, they'd blow away and had nothing to eat. And then there was some of it that was perfect cow country. So it was very diverse, and I got a chance to grow up with some of the best cowboys in that area. Mm-hmm. We did everything horseback. I didn't know any different. We never had a four-wheeler. Nothing against anybody that works cattle with a four-wheeler, but we did things the old school way. And honestly, I took it for granted because I didn't know any different. And I was mentored, and I didn't even know at the time I was being mentored, but I was being instilled with values of the traditional cowboy, the yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am, look you in the eye, tell you the truth, when we would schedule fall or spring works, it was usually a month or two ahead of time. And if you said you were going to be there a month out at 5:30 in the morning, by God, you were going to show up. And there was no question. There wasn't checking the day before. Hey, you going to come tomorrow still? You know, it was just a whole different way of life and living. And I think, you know, being raised that way, again, I took it for granted. But all throughout that process, the 20,000 acres that was brought on later on was actually originally the Three Sevens Ranch. And so when we moved there, which was in 1999, that's where my experience started on that place. And there's a lot of great memories and a lot of tough memories there. But more than anything, that's what was home to me. And that's where my roots are at. And so the Three Sevens just became a part of my life at that point. And obviously Michael came on board way later, but she, I want her to kind of share some of her part of that as well. But I think that I never thought I would do anything outside of Cowboying, and I've done a lot of different things outside of Cowboying. But the older I get, the more I'm trying to protect those roots and get more people to realize how cool it really is.
Yeah, world needs more cowboys. That's
yes.
for sure.
Yeah, yes. I mean, honestly, if you're a cowboy, you're living in history. Mm-hmm. Like, if you really think about, like, being a cowboy and stuff, like, you hear of all these old stories, but, you know, if you get you a hat and some boots, you can live history.
You can.
Like, I mean, all of us as kids played cowboys and Indians in the backyard. I mean, I know I did. I mean, these kids nowadays probably don't because they have, like, video games and stuff.
Right.
It's, you know, every kid that lives in the middle United States probably dreams about being a cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the people that won't dream about being a fireman and a police officer, but if you've watched a Western one time, you're like, I want to be that guy on a horse shooting people.
Well, and I've always had this, Michael can tell you, I mean, it doesn't matter where we go, I make friends.
Mm-hmm.
And most oftentimes, they're much, much older than me. And I just have a knack for just quizzing people that come from wisdom. You know, they come from a time where I really wished I kind of was raised and how things were the way I really wish they were today, which unfortunately they're not. But it's just neat how those values, if you really look at the history of it and how deep they run, it's not too late to bring them back.
Right.
Yeah.
And I believe we can. I really do. I think we just have to be the light and be the example.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I'm excited. Even when we go to Fort Worth and people come in from all over the place, a lot of these older people that I've talked to, you know, that's one thing. When they get fascinated when they ask me about my story and how I was raised and what I do, what we do. And you can see their eyes light up and how they wish they could do that. You know, if they could go back in time, that's one thing they wish they could have done is, you know, been horseback or worked on a working ranch or, you know, got to rodeo. They just think it's so cool. And so it's just a very, very good example that most people, you're right, probably if they could even just experience it for a day, they would.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, Michael, what's your whole experience been coming into this crazy lifestyle, Coley's?
Crazy is an understatement. No, I grew up with parents that knew nothing about horses. I grew up in the city on an acre, and so my life was very different. My experience growing up was very different than him. But I, like most little girls, had a passion for horses at a very young age. And so my parents saw that, recognized that, and thankfully gave me the opportunity to pursue that. So when I was 9, they said, okay, you can take lessons, but we're not paying for it. So I had to clean stalls at a barn in order to pay for my riding lessons at 9 years old. And so that was my first kind of taste of horses. And it didn't take long before I was showing and competing and doing things like that. But just always a passion of mine. So I grew up showing horses and livestock. Even when we met, I was working 3 different jobs, and one of them was cleaning stalls at a barn. So that I never got too far from that. And then just with my experience riding and things like that, when we got together and started dating, and of course it was one of the first 1 or 2 times we'd ever even been together, and he took me out to move some cattle. And let me just tell you, if you don't know, you don't work cattle together. Like, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. It's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. So,
well, you made it out of it alive.
We made it out alive. That's how you know. No one died. I stuck with him. No one got divorced or left out in the middle of the ranch or anything like that. So it went good. But
the thought might have crossed her mind.
Yeah. But he, you know, definitely introduced me to the ranch side of things and that lifestyle, which I had never experienced before. But the love of horses, and I just took up to it so quickly.
Living off the land.
And I had competed in Rodeo Queen contests and things like that. So I had been involved in the Western way of life for as long as I can remember. But it's a different way of life when you go to ranching. It's right. A different way to ride. It's a different way you do things. It's a different respect level. And so really getting immersed in that the way I did, especially when we got married, was really neat for me to see that side of it.
Yeah, for sure.
There's an etiquette that a lot of people, I mean, cowboys and people that have been around it, they understand it. But there's such an etiquette and a respect factor that you don't have to use words when you're cowboying with people that know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember being a little boy and my dad could just look at me and we could be plumb clear across the pens from each other. And I knew where I needed to go. Or I knew I needed to back off, or I knew I needed to whatever. And there's no communication. And so what she's talking about is the expectations I had on her when she started working cattle with me was I'm expecting her to know where to be and fill that hole or back off or you're pushing too hard. You know, because with cattle, sometimes it just takes one step. Mm-hmm. You know, just raise your hand with yearlings and they stop and look at you, where if, you know, you go two steps, you're going to turn them off on the other guy. So we had to learn real quick that we just don't really work cattle together.
And the silent cowboy communication is not was not well understood. And so there was a lot of words between us.
Well, here you are, still together.
Still together.
Yes.
We just don't work cows together anymore.
Just don't ask her about the story when she threw shoes at me. She's pretty good at, when she get mad, throwing those shoes.
So, Michael, there's a story about you throwing shoes.
Let's just say he is a lot different now than he used to be. So we've been married 13 years, and he is an amazing husband, an amazing dad, all that. I couldn't give him enough credit. But back in the day, he wasn't.
Before you trained him, he was not.
Before I trained him, yes. And there was a time when I wasn't sure he was trainable, but we made it through. But during that time,
you almost sent him to the kill pen. You almost sent him to the kill pin.
Yeah.
There's in our old house, every doorknob, the doorknob would jiggle. They were all loose because I slammed doors. And we had scuff marks on our walls, you know, 6 feet high, because I would take off a shoe and throw it at him, and he'd duck, and it'd scuff the wall. We've had some experiences.
Think quick, duck.
Yeah, or start catching him, and she'd be like, oh, I got to stop throwing shoes.
He wasn't that quick.
I'll never forget one night, don't even know what the argument was about, but she thought she'd just lock me out.
Of the bedroom, not the house.
Of the bedroom.
Oh, yes. Well, here's the thing. He could lock me out, but I'm Houdini. I could get in like 30 seconds. So it didn't faze me, but I could lock him out. He didn't know how to get in.
But I did know where to shut the power off to the whole house.
So he hit the breaker.
So when she decided that she needs some light.
We just opened the door.
Fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Solution.
Thanks.
Then you guys talked it out. And
yeah.
We're going to talk this out in the dark, okay? When you get your attitude right, then I'll turn it back on.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny how a lot of those fights, it's a double role, and it quickly turned around on me, and I'd be mad at him because he did something wrong, and then I would end up paying the consequence of his mistake because of my reaction. So one night he came in, I was mad, I threw a bowl of chili at him. If you know New Mexico, you know we have green chili, red chili. Well, this was like chili beans with red chili.
Real red chili.
It went all over the walls, and I was mad. He left. I slammed the door. I didn't think about it till the next day until I realized it stained the wall. So I spent the whole next day repainting the wall. So things like that that always bit me.
Yeah. And this was actually in a house. It was an older ranch house that had been half remodeled. And I just wish people could see some of the places that we lived. And
it had a rattlesnake den underneath.
Literally, it had an old cistern that somebody buried and covered up and really didn't do it right. And so these rattlesnakes den there, and it was underneath the back porch. And, I mean, we'd have them in the house. It was like
every
most people
spring,
would be
when they were leaving, and every fall when they were coming back, it was rattlesnake season. So we had a shotgun and a shovel by the front door and the back door. I was really good at always shooting them when they were like in the dirt and stuff. Yeah. If they were on the porch, he didn't care. He blew a hole in it.
Yeah. Me and snakes and spiders do not jive.
Yeah.
So sure. you watched your act around rattlesnake season with the shovel and the shotgun.
You bet. You did not. You didn't. You could not leave our door and walk to the saddle house or to the shop or to the vehicle without a shovel. Because I guarantee you, I mean, we'd walk around there one day and kill 10 or 12, no problem.
That's crazy. I was talking more about your wife, like, having weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a pretty good shot,
She had shotguns and a shovel. So, I mean, she could just
bury
dig
you
a hole.
In the backyard.
Yeah, you ought to see her shoot prey dogs.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, deadly. Deadly.
That's awesome.
So do we still throw stuff at each other?
No, he's trained now. I don't have to.
Yeah.
That's good.
path of least resistance.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Easier road than fighting back.
Yeah. That's perfect. So you'd say over the past couple of years you've
just gotten wiser.
Yeah.
Older,
wiser,
gray hairs.
More mature.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was a very selfish person. I grew up in a divorced home, and I always kind of fend for myself. Not to say that I didn't have a wonderful family and support. I have wonderful parents. But I worked a lot when I was young and partied a lot and did a lot of things way younger than most kids do. And I just kind of started living this life that, not that I did anybody wrong, I was a good person, but I just looked out for me. I just kind of got to that point where I had to look out for me. Like, I took care of myself and that was about it. And so, you know, when we got married, it took years to get to a place to where I had a feel for that consideration. It wasn't that I was doing it on purpose. It was just I had protected myself and only myself for so long that I didn't really know how to live.
Right.
And, you know, you have to have common ground and respect and think about, you know, how the other person feels. And I think that that's what's taught us a lot about just life and even the business endeavors that we're diving into now and some of the businesses that we've had in the past. It's helped give us a lot of insight early in life. And so I don't regret any of the process that we've gone through, because we have a wonderful marriage now, and we just have such a deep understanding and clarity of where we want to go and what we want to accomplish that, you know, two is better than one, and we're pretty stout together, I think.
Real quick, we want to interrupt and talk a little bit about our sponsors, Alliance CPA Full Service Bookkeeping, Payroll, and Taxes. They know about the farm and rodeo world, too. For all your rodeo write-off needs, give them a shout, 479-321-1043.
And also, Three Sevens Ranch, located in Weatherford, Texas. Are you mounted to win? If not, look no further than Three Sevens Ranch to find the highest quality head, heel, and breakaway horses on the market. Be sure to watch out for the new apparel line launching soon. 3 7s, where attention to detail matters.
What is something that drives both of you? Like, why are you so passionate about growing 3 7s and making it so successful so that you can help others? What is it inside both of you working together to create this
empire?
I think that, like, if you take it back, there's been a repeat process of us being able to look into our past and see that we were constantly given a hand up from somebody, and not a handout, but somebody that was willing to help us achieve something.
Yeah.
And so I think that deep down for both of us, it's not about 3 7s being in the spotlight or even ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's about that giving us the ability and the tools to help other people. So you talked about us sponsoring you guys for Vegas, and that is something that's huge and so important to us, because we want to be dream bridge builders. You know, we want to be able to help people have the ability to go achieve their dreams and what they want to, because we've been able to achieve ours. And so it's not really for us. It's just something that we're both passionate about to help other people get to where they want to be.
Right.
And just to add a little bit more of a layer to that, I grew up without a relationship with the Lord. And Michael was completely opposite. She grew up with a relationship, a strong understanding, and a very connected spiritual life. Not just her sisters, her parents. I mean, they just lived a life that now I understand, and I didn't for such a long time. And I think that through some of our experiences together, I mean, she was patient and waiting on me and never forced God on me. It just all kind of started happening. And through some of the experiences, she's known all along, but I think whenever I started to understand and we were both on the same page of our mission here, mm-hmm. which is to serve others.
Yeah.
And when you can do that while you're staying in the lane of living the lifestyle that you love with people that are like-minded, the ability to raise, we have two beautiful little girls, which we haven't mentioned yet. They're 6 and 8, Mesa and Rainey. They are our world. But because we don't live on a 100-section ranch in New Mexico anymore, and we're here on 70 acres here in Weatherford, Texas, it is a little bit of a different picture.
Mm-hmm.
But we just want to create the ability for them to be raised in this lifestyle. And so I feel like if we, through 3-7s, we feel like we found a way and our calling. God's gifted us these 7s for some reason. It's kept showing up, and now we're finally putting it to use. And we just want to ride this to be able to serve as many people as we can while living the life that we like with the people that we like. I mean, really kind of sums up just how we've kind of finally, I for sure, but I think us as a married couple have kind of found that calling and have a foundation that we've fallen on with 3-7s to use to help other people. And we just want our girls to have those examples constantly, mm-hmm. not just told this is the way you're supposed to live life and this is what you're supposed to do, but we don't want them to have to even ever question it. That's just all they know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that he mentioned he didn't grow up in church. I did. I was in church two or three times a week. I mean, that was just how my family and I operated. My parents did music at church. I was constantly in church with that influence, and I was not perfect by any means. I made a lot of mistakes growing up, mm-hmm. but that stability, it was just the stability, my faith, having that in my life. And so when we started dating, you know, that wasn't his thing. I didn't make him go to church. We got married. And I don't recommend this. It's funny. They always tell you, like, date somebody within your church. Date somebody that you know, within your faith. And now I understand why. Because we struggled. We had so many arguments about it. I never pushed it on him. But I also told him, I'm not going to raise kids where I take them to church while you're in the recliner at home. Like, I want to raise kids together in church. So I was patient. We got married. We had those knockout, drag-out fights. In fact, we were married like 3 or 4 months, had gone to Albuquerque to go dancing or something. Mm-hmm. We were headed home. And I don't know what got us on the subject, but we started talking about God. And here we're newlyweds. And he says, well, I just don't know why you believe that book. Well, you want to tick me off real fast. You don't question my God or my faith. And so I pulled over on I-25, middle of the interstate, and kicked him out. And I went 30 miles home. And I was just, I was not going to have it. You're not going to, God comes, you know, my God comes before anybody or anything. And so I was like, you're going to learn that one real quick. So whether it was going to cause a divorce or not, I was willing to.
Wow. You was probably talking to God real fast right then.
Well, no, I had lots of friends in low places. Yeah. So I was picked up and on the road again.
Before too long.
Before, she didn't know what happened. But, you know, I will say that I think just recently, I mean, what are we, almost the last quarter of 2023, it was earlier this summer, I was listening to a book, and this book changed my life, to say the least. And I tell a lot of people about it. It's called Like a River, Granger Smith. And in this book, he talked about getting to a place in his life where he put, like, he loved his wife. He loved God more than his wife. Well, I've always loved her more than anything, like mm-hmm. even more than God. And it wasn't until this summer that I truly placed God first. I thought I did in many ways, many areas of my life, but it wasn't truly until this summer where I finally was like, I get it now. Like, that has to come before anything mm-hmm. in my life. I can't speak for everybody. Everyone, it's all in his time, not ours. But I think that for us has been pivotal.
That's my point. Like, we went through a very long period of time where he did not believe the way I believed, and so we struggled.
Mm-hmm.
So we got married in 2010, and it was in 2012 that he finally had a come to Jesus, if you want to call mm-hmm. it. And he was influenced by other men in his life to finally pursue a life of faith. And it was a matter of weeks before he completely changed. I mean, he gave up drinking and tobacco all in I mean, cold turkey one night, just said, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Started working out, started eating good.
I mean, his life changed just overnight, it felt like. And it was at that point when he really, I mean, found Christ that he started to work at being a better husband. Mm-hmm. And then it was just a couple years later that we had our first daughter in 2015. And I think that, you know, it was all those steps. And that's why we'll never say we regret anything, because we learn from every experience we've ever had. But God gave us children at the perfect time, when he was ready, when I was ready, when we were ready as a couple. And I think seeing the way that God can move and change somebody, to me, is just amazing. And I got to witness that firsthand. And so that's part of what's so special to us about the Three Sevens also. Like I mentioned earlier, I mean, it's a biblical meaning to us, only because I feel like God has given it to us to go make a difference. So you'll notice on the back of our caps, we have a verse, a little patch with a verse. And that's something that we want to keep doing. It'll change. The verses will change, but we want to have it on shirts, on caps, in subtle ways. Mm-hmm. But to us, it's our way to influence, you know, little by little. And if we can get someone to Google that verse and just direct them in that direction, even if it's just a little bit, and it could change their life, to us, that's completely worth it.
Yeah.
Because when she's talking about in 2012, when my life made a 360, it's unbelievable how quickly it all took place. And now, you know, and I know everybody that's going to listen to this in the future, you really can't predict the future, and you really can't look into the future too much with this type of stuff, but you can definitely look back. And when you look back, you can always say, man, you know what, even though that was a tough time, or that was a tough time, or this thing or that happened, if you really pay attention, God showed up. And he did it at the perfect time and allowed you certain situations and experiences, sometimes even really tough, that we wouldn't want anyone to go through, but we came out better for it. And so I'm just excited about hopefully people that we can help maybe in the same situation. I mean, I'd highly recommend to people that are starting life together that, you know, they find a common ground there before they get going fast, because we struggled. And I'm so thankful that we came out of it, but I think we came out of it to be able to share our story.
Yeah.
And maybe save somebody else that, mm-hmm. maybe even a divorce. I mean, I got to witness a divorce firsthand. I got to see multiple divorces in my family, and with people I was really close with, I heard the fights. I heard the pain. Mm-hmm. I felt the pain. And, you know, I feel like the younger generation, if you start, and everyone listening to this, if they really start to pay attention to what's important, we may not be able to change the generation currently, but we can definitely have an impact on the next generation and the next generation and the next generation to make this a better place than we left it.
Yeah.
And we can do that by being bridge builders, helping people get from where they're at to where they really want to be.
Mm-hmm. But in a sense, you nailed it right on the head. I mean, it starts with you.
It does.
You know? You can't even think for a second to what you're going to do to make a difference unless you make a difference in yourself. And I feel like, you know, it just seems like in my life especially, I'm a very open person. I'll talk about anything with anybody. And it always just comes down to, like, someone being in a relationship or me personally going through relationships until you meet someone that, like, pushes you to be better or whatever it might be. But, you know, like, what does it take for you to be in a situation that you were to just instantly want to change and be better? Because you can say to yourself, you know, anyone could be like, well, I want to change that about myself. But it's like, sometimes pride gets in the way, and a lot of times there's other factors of what you want to do. But how do you get to that point where you know you have to make a difference in your life, whether it be to save your marriage or for you to even just be happier? I mean, like, what?
I think that at that point in our lives, I can only really use my example to be transparent and give you an honest answer to that. For one, our marriage was rocky our first year into it. This was 2 years into our marriage, and it was rocky. I mean, it was obvious that it wasn't going to last at the rate we were going, for one. And for two, I'm a believer in fall seven times, get up eight. You know, if I'll never take for granted how many no's that you have to get sometimes before you finally get a yes. And I know that God does the same thing. And there was a point in my life where it was like he kept on knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. And he was using, at that point in time, money, an opportunity. Mm-hmm. I say money. It was really an opportunity. It was so much more than money, but that's all I really saw. It was an opportunity to make some extra income. And it was an investment on our end of money that we really didn't have. It was a risk that got us very uncomfortable. And for me, very uncomfortable to spend the money to make this investment to start this business, basically.
And when he means, like, we didn't have the money, we didn't have the money.
I mean, like credit cards.
Like three or four different cards to try to make this happen.
Yeah. So lots of pressure. So it was just, it was a decision we made that ultimately made me straighten up. Like, it was almost like I was doing this, just going through life, and then all of a sudden I just, like, was like, it's business time. It's show time. It's focus time. I've got to do this. I got to make this money back. I've got to take care of my family. I got to take care of this ranch. I got to, we've got cows to pay for. We got a lease to pay for. Like, it's almost like I was living in this fog, and all of a sudden the clouds just opened up, and I had a little clarity, and I had some sense of direction. And it was a nudge. I know it was from him, but I didn't know it was from him at the time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I told him no and no and no and no and no and no, and I pushed him off and pushed him off and pushed him off. And then finally, he finally got his answer. And I said, all right, let's go. And that 2012 was a pivotal, pivotal point in our lives. And I'll never take it for granted.
Well, and looking back, I think God lets you experience things, whether it's tragedy or heartache or, you know, the bottom of the bottom, to put you in a position to where you're finally ready to accept whatever he's planned for you. Yeah. And so I think it took us getting very uncomfortable and having a lot on the line for him to finally be ready.
Yeah.
To sum it up, it has to be your idea. It has to be their idea. Whoever, if you were asking that question to anybody, ultimately, it has to be their idea, yeah, whether God finally makes it their idea or whatever the case may be. You know, and I've learned that even dealing with people. We've dealt with thousands and thousands of people with some of our experiences and businesses. And, you know, when you're dealing with people like that, sometimes you have to just know that it's not your timing, it's his timing. And it ultimately, you see things change for them whenever they decide that it's their, you know, it's their decision. It has to be their idea.
You know, the craziest thing, too, I think, is that, you know, each of us, we go through experiences, and it might not even be for us. Like, you guys might have had to go through that, because one day you're going to have a conversation with somebody in your booth that's struggling with their marriage, and they'll have no idea, and somehow God will provide a way for you to have that conversation, and they're going to go home that night and be like, man, those two people have such a light, like...
If them heartaches that you went through for them 8 or 10 years, you know, if you just help one person, it's worth it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. There's a gentleman that's been a big deal in our lives, and he's mentored me in lots of ways. And I don't know if it's a Chinese proverb or where he quoted this from, but save one life, save the world. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand that 8, 9 years ago, first time I heard it. But it makes so much sense to me today, now that my heart is in a better place where it's not about me, it's not about us, it's about what we can do for others. And if it's just helping one person.
It's a domino effect, though. You know, you help that one person, and they help two other people.
See?
And then two other people turn into eight other people, you know? That's one thing that I think a lot of people get stuck in, is like, you know, I'm trying to help one person, or trying to help multiple people, but if they would just help one person, the people that they could help.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of box yourself in. Mm-hmm. I'm famous for that, by the way. I got a story I'll tell you guys in a little bit about boxing myself in on training horses. But anyways, you know, as far as you know, following up on that question, Nace, it's got to be your idea. And a lot of times you just have to be ready for it, you know, when God makes it your idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I think... I mean, you know, we've had people that have reached out to us, and I wouldn't say that we're a motivational podcast by any means, but we all have our own stories, and I feel like sometimes we get to personally share some of those things when we're talking to people. And I think, you know, I served a church mission, and, you know, me going out being a minister I learn more from the people than I probably taught them, you know? Sure. And so with this podcast, it's been so cool to, it is a lot of work. Like it, you know, it takes hours to set it up on the road and pack it up. And even when we're at the house editing and just the lights and the money that goes into it and the time and effort and energy. But at the end of the day, you know, if one person messages us, like a couple months ago, we had someone reach out and they were like, man, just right now, I've like nobody can make me smile and your guys' podcast makes my day. And it's just like that one message is worth it to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just like the hard work and stuff that goes into it. At the end of the day, when I'm tired and all that stuff, it's always hard to remember those kind of things. But when it happens, it's like, man, like I really feel like, you know, the idea and just everything, like the biggest thing, the biggest boom in my mind with me and Cody was he got accepted to be on this TV show. And we made this like promo video for him and everything. But I was like, at that moment, I was like, man, I was given these talents to create content or like videos, like just, and I was still learning at the time. Cody was, we both grew up in completely different worlds, yet we met, you know, like God put us together. We created this thing. And I was like, I sent him a text one night and I was like, dude, I was like, this is how you know it's like divine, you know, because us getting to do this stuff, you know, we get along really well on the road. Like we work well as business partners. We're best friends, and to be able to go out and like meet people and hear their stories and help others. And it's all part of it. I mean, it might look like fun on TikTok and Instagram and people listening to the podcast and stuff. And it is a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. Like this is, you know, people think that we're working. We're not, but just the things that we've been able to do together, like, you know, that's our main thing is, we don't care to be famous or make a ton of money with the podcast, but it all comes with the job, you know. But at the same time, it's just the experiences we've had have been incredible.
I freaking got stuck in the chair.
Oh, I was wondering what you're laughing at.
I'm sorry.
He hooked his fur.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's awesome the things that, like, how it happened, like, how everything happens for a reason. Like you hear that all the time and I say that all the time, but really everything happens for a reason. Like, you know, if Nace wasn't hanging out with this one person 17 years ago, or no, it'd have been like 13 years ago, we wouldn't be sitting here right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing how God works. And then we went like 4 years without really like, we was friends, but we never like talked every day or anything now. And now we have a full-fledged business together. And I mean, it's like you and Michael, like you guys was throwing shoes. She was throwing shoes at you. And now look at what God's gave you.
Well, like, yeah. And like you say, I mean, everything happens for a reason. I was going through a tough time when I met Michael. My dad was having a lot of health issues. Mm-hmm. And so I was going to college at New Mexico State University in Las Cruces, and then the ranch was 3 hours in central New Mexico. And Thursdays, when I was done with school and work, I would load up and go back to Willard to help my dad at the ranch because he was sick. Like, yeah. I'd literally have to be there every week just to go make my rounds and make sure everything was good and, you know, do anything that he was waiting on me to help him with. And if it wouldn't have been for that situation, which I thought was a horrible situation at the time, I wouldn't have met Michael because I would come home. Really, I probably could have came home on Fridays, but I used to come home on Thursdays because they had this called college night at this bar in Albuquerque. And so we'd go dance, and that's actually how I met Michael, was at that bar. And, you know, it's just crazy how things happen. You know, everything happens for a reason. She's a huge believer on that, and I am too, now that I've looked back and seen how it was perfectly situated.
Well, I mean, even the four of us sitting here right now.
Yes, absolutely.
That big, you know, investment that we made that really
changed his life.
Directed us down the path and the road of person to person to person that eventually led us to you.
Yes.
That's how, I mean, and so just to see that chain of events. And that's how I see everything in life, as a chain of events and God putting those puzzle pieces together. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing to see what his end plan has been so far. And we don't even know the half of what he has in store.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's like mind-blowing if you really think about it.
It really is.
We were having the same conversation here. I'm like an eternal perspective guy. So I'm like, how did somebody think to create something that could stop time in an image?
What started it was we was leaving yesterday morning at like 5:30. So he gets to the house. And
this was when you were supposed to pull in here at 3?
Yeah. Well, pretty yeah.
Much. You guys were like team ropers a little
yeah.
bit late.
Yeah.
Hey, okay. this much. Morning you was late too. So I don't want to hear nothing. So I pulled over one of our cattle guards and he's like, man, you know, I wonder what the guy was thinking when he invented a cattle guard.
Yeah.
And then literally we had that conversation for
2 hours.
2 hours yeah. on the drive.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, just like that. Like you start one thing, you say one thing. And then the conversations that you can have with people.
Yeah. It's incredible.
It's as easy as saying hi to somebody.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Making a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
just waving at somebody.
That chain reaction of what mm-hmm. might take place that day yeah. for that person.
Or later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think you have to get still, though, sometimes, Mace, to really kind of wrap your head around it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a little perspective on that. So here recently, we have some good friends of ours. We're kind of doing like a soft 75-day challenge, and we kind of picked all the things that we wanted to do that were disciplines that, you know, were hard things to do that we didn't want to do, but we do them every day, and we check them off that list. Well, at church, they are doing a 40-day fast, and you can fast social media or Cokes or coffee or food if you want to. I mean, I couldn't go without food for 40 days, I don't think, but anyways... We decided to give up social media. And yes, we have businesses to run, so she'll pick like 30 minutes a day to get on just the business pages and answer any messages or whatever and make some posts, whatever the case may be. But we haven't been scrolling, and we're 1 week in, I think. And I'm going to tell you what, there is so much gratification about this for us right now because, number one, we're getting more things done. Mm-hmm. We've gained an hour or two a day back that we were wasting away.
Isn't that crazy?
For one, but you get in these little still moments, like we're reading 10 pages every night, and we never used to do that. We were trying to get every little task done just to try to get to bed, much less carve out time or have time to be able to read. And so I think with this, I'm going to call it distractions. I believe that the devil uses lots of different ways to distract us from getting still and gaining that closeness to God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And seeing his work. The further he can keep us away from it and the busier he can keep us as humans, which he's doing a good job of it, mm-hmm. the further it keeps us and the less time we spend actually
sure.
soaking in, you know, and what he did for us.
With that, the more things you see. You're so distracted by looking down or being involved like on some meta that take those 25 minutes that you might have spent to or more scrolling. And just looking up, like seeing somebody or saying something or doing something else, getting something done that's going to...
Being present.
It's just crazy. Yes. I mean...
And because people are so bad about, like, they're in the room together, but they're not present. Mm-hmm. You can be somewhere and not be present.
Right.
Well, that's something we've come to realize with our kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did that a lot.
You know, especially with the line of work that he was in the last few years, and mm-hmm. you know, a lot of businesses run over the phone.
Yeah.
And so it was constantly with them. I mean, he'd get up from dinner to take a phone call, he'd have to answer messages and just not present at all. And so that's one thing that we've really tried to discipline ourselves in, especially with our children, is they're only little once, you know, and you only get to experience those things once. And so just to take the time to really spend with them when we're with them and be intentional with that time.
Right. Yeah. Real quick, we want to interrupt and talk a little bit about our sponsors, Barra Air Guns. Check out their all-new Cowboy Series lineup, like the 1858 CO2 pistol, available now at Tractor Supply stores, or the 1866 CO2 rifle on BarraAirGuns.com.
The Everything Rodeo Boys are proud to represent Cinch. Since 1996, the Cinch clothing brand has been creating quality jeans and shirts for both in and out of the arena. Cinch, lead, don't follow.
This year in Vegas, we'll be having a live show at the Plaza Hotel and Casino Convention Center at 1 p.m. daily. Come stop by, check out our merchandise, and kick it with us. See y'all in December.
So we're on this beautiful barn right here in Weatherford. And how did we get to this point? Where did you moved here in 2015, or you started the horse deal? Did you start in New Mexico, or did you start it here?
New Mexico. I'm going to let Michael... I'm so long-winded, and my stories will go for so long, but there's a lot of details to the story, but I'm going to let Michael kind of summarize it because exactly what we were just talking about, how God has a perfect plan and he shows up. And if you truly get still and look back and pay attention, he was there. He had you. He got you. He had us and he got us to this place. And it's just truly amazing.
Yeah, so he talked about how he grew up on a big ranch. Well, his dad managed that ranch, but it was owned by another family. So when we got married in 2010, him and his dad were still managing for that same family. And granted, he had lived there his entire life, but that's, you know, the situation. And so we had the opportunity the end of 2010, starting January 1st, 2011, to go ahead and lease that ranch.
Buy the cows.
And so we bought all the cows. He owner financed for us. It was that in itself was a godsend because we were broke kids. And so what, bought 500 mama cows and started leasing that ranch. And at the time, that section that we were on was 24,000 acres, I believe. And so that, you know, that started the journey. Again, that was at the Three Sevens. And then things sort of shifted with the owners and their situation and health and different things. And they decided to go ahead and sell the ranch in 2015. And so that's when, you know, we had the opportunity to take a big step in, you know, in our faith and invest in the ranch itself. So we closed on the ranch in 2015. And that's when he decided that it would be a great idea to start a horse business to supplement some income. Well, anyone who's listening to this and knows the horse business, you don't make an income. That's not a thing. So I remember standing in the store and he's talking about starting this horse business. And I said, no, I said, I don't want a horse business. I don't want to depend on the sale of a horse to put food on our table. And I was firm and I was adamant. So what did he do? He started a horse business. So here we are. No, but that was over at the ranch in New Mexico. That was 2015. We didn't move here until 2018. And so that's when, you know, this facility happened. There's been a lot of improvements to it, a lot of changes, you know, in those 5 years. But we're in an amazing place and couldn't be happier.
Yeah. And what's unique about it, too, is in 2015 is when we formed a partnership on that real estate out there. And that relationship allowed us to actually go to Florida, which we haven't even talked about Florida. But Three Sevens, we had a Three Sevens division in Florida with the horses. So when we started this horse business, we would train out there for the winter months, and then we'd go back to New Mexico. And we did that for 3 years. Ultimately, in 2018, by that time, we had two little girls and trying to travel across the country with 12 to 14, 15 head of horses, three rigs, couple of employees, and two little girls. We all just kind of made a decision that if we're going to do this, we need to be in Weatherford, Texas.
Well, and people think it's glamorous when you talk about, you know, wintering in Florida, and I loved it. We all love Florida, but when you have that many horses and two little girls and you're moving every 6 months, literally across the country, it was hard.
Oh, yeah.
It was very hard. So to have, you know, home finally be here in Weatherford has been such a blessing.
That's great.
So we have the Three Sevens Ranch apparel. We have Three Sevens horses, performance horses. We have Three Sevens media. And then we got some other stuff that's like on the in the works.
In the back pocket.
Well, so Three Sevens Ranch, the cow business, all of that basically was closed out February of 22. So we got out of the cow business, sold the ranch in New Mexico, full-time here in Texas, starting then, basically. And we both kind of got to this point like, okay, that was a heavy load on us, trying to pay for a ranch with a cow. So now what? You know, now what are we going to do? And I'm a visionary. I've got all these ideas all the time. But we just tried to get in this place where we were trying to get more direction from God. Like, what are we going to do? And that's why we keep talking about this 3-7. So the performance horses have been in business since 2015. And the 3-7's Western Marketing and the 3-7's Ranch Apparel. And we're actually starting a beverage company. All three of those are all baby businesses that we really haven't even truly launched yet. A lot of things in the work, brick by brick. Trying to get everything right to where when we launch, we're prepared. But we're excited to do some really big things and continue to do somewhat what we're doing with you guys, partnering up and supporting each other. And, you know, we have a strong passion for the rodeo athletes. We love the sport of rodeo. And we understand how hard it is to go down the road and try to make a living. And when you don't win and, you know, how much it costs, there's just a ton of pressure. And, you know, we both honestly kind of feel like it's unfortunate that there's not more money involved from a sponsorship standpoint and from a winning standpoint, like compared to your traditional sports, basketball, football, soccer, racing, like all these other industries. When you look at rodeo, these athletes aren't making near the money that some of these big athletes are making to play on TV. So they're all chasing their dreams and they're all disciplined and the work ethic is there. So we're really wanting to focus a lot of our attention on, as we move forward with success in our business, to really heavily promote and support rodeo athletes and other companies within the industry, I should say, as the Western industry as a whole.
Yeah.
And so we're excited about the drinks and the clothing and the horses. And really, it's crazy how it's all came together, but they all accommodate each other.
Right. Mm-hmm. They all work together in unity. Together.
Yeah. Yes.
Definitely. Well, and I think that, you know, Yellowstone gave the Western industry a spotlight that it didn't have previously. Sure, I mean, we were talking about just yesterday or the day before how, you know, even back in 2007, they only aired the weekend performances of the NFR, and now you can see the whole thing from home.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've progressed so drastically, you know, over time and how popular you could say the Western industry is. And so with that spotlight on us right now, on all of us, I feel like it's really given us the tools to, you know, reach out and with the marketing, with the beverage company, especially with the apparel, you know, to make other people outside of this world or this industry feel welcome.
Yeah.
And in a way to invite them in to take, you know, taste a little bit of it and be a part of it, even if it's just for a moment, because there is a romanticism about it.
Right. Yeah. And what a blessing it's been to have you guys be a part of us and us be able to work together and just like to be able to be here. And I would have, I wouldn't want to catch my first steer on the heel side anywhere else than 3/7. So.
Absolutely.
Just appreciate everything that you guys do for us and for everything. And we are going to do everything we can to help y'all to keep growing all your businesses. And I don't know, it's incredible to see like the life the light and the life that you guys bring. Just being around you, it makes me happy, and you guys are incredible. So just appreciate your example for me too, just with everything. And man, I'm excited, super excited for what you guys have in the store.
We appreciate
Thank
it,
you.
But that
Absolutely.
Goes both ways.
Goes both ways for sure.
We value your friendship, and we enjoy you guys being around and everything that we can do together, and we really look forward to the future.
Good. Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Well, the way that, unless you want to have any more last words? Or
I think we're good.
Okay. The way that we end our podcast is we usually ask our guests what the first song is that comes to their mind, and then we all sing it together. So I'm thinking Michael might have a song on her mind.
I don't. But I know his, but I don't know the words to his, so.
Man, be honest with you, I don't listen to music. You guys think I'm crazy.
Here's a song that you both know, and whenever you told me your story, it's the first song I thought of, okay?
And
you'll know it, okay? You know the song? We Danced?
By Brad Paisley.
By Brad Paisley. I don't yes, you do. Yeah. Here, I'll bring her to the chorus.
Bar was empty.
That's where you guys were dancing the first time you met.
That's right.
I was sweeping up the floor.
All right, hold on. Here's the chorus.
That's when she walked. And the next thing that you knew, there we were, lost in conversation.
You know the song, Michael?
I
okay, chorus is coming. Here it comes.
Before I handed her purse, I said, you'll only get this back on one condition.
We danced. Right here.
And we danced out there on that empty hardwood floor
in New Mexico.
Chairs up and the lights turn way down low. Music played, we held each other close.
She threw a shoe
at Coley, but
and
she
I
missed.
Turned off the lights.
And well, that's an end of another Everything Rodeo podcast.
That's right. We appreciate y'all checking in.
Hey, thanks for having us. Thanks for coming down. We appreciate you guys. Keep up the hard work.
Yeah, we will. Totally interrupted me. my ending. That's okay.
I'm close.
It's all right. Appreciate y'all checking in, sticking around.
And listening to another episode of the Everything Rodeo podcast. We want to thank Coley and Michael for welcoming us with open arms to the 3/7 Ranch.
Yeah, thank you all so much. Yeah, now you can say.
Thank you guys. Thank you guys for coming out. We appreciate you. Yeah. We're excited to follow on your journey with you.
We're excited to follow your journey with you and support you, and we love you guys. So
thank you. Love y'all.
Come out and see us in Vegas at the Plaza Hotel and Casino. We're going to have a live show. Three Sevens will be featured as one of our platinum sponsors.
Yep, and keep an eye out just for Three Sevens. Got an Instagram, and they got a lot of
go cool like stuff. And follow them. They got a lot of awesome stuff coming that will blow your mind.
Just be ready.
Be ready. Adios.
The chair's up and the lights turn way down low. The music played, we held each other close.